don't kill.
Now, I might hate you, but I'm not going to kill you.
And Jesus says, no, that's not righteous. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer already. And so in Christ, there's a higher standard of righteousness. So those old laws don't really cut it. Plus, there's all kinds of things about how you dress, what you eat. And that was the law for the Jews. I'm a Christian. I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. I'm not a child of Abraham of the flesh, but of the Spirit. And so in all these things, and this has to do with this woman in the alabaster box, because it was something that, according to the letter of Christ's teaching, seemed like a bad idea. And the disciples, they weren't off the mark. They weren't like crazy. They still didn't get it that Jesus was about to be crucified. And they thought, we're still in the mode where we'd sell what you have, give to the poor, and follow me. You know, Jesus doesn't need anointings, and he's the Messiah. He doesn't need extra oil and perfumes and expensive stuff to be laden on him. He doesn't like that. And then suddenly he's accepting it, and they're bewildered because they couldn't see. So we have to endeavor by the Spirit of God to see. We want to move. You know, the disciples were at a certain stage in their life. And in my life, I was once at a stage where I had narrower vision. And as we go on with Christ and the Spirit, we want to widen our vision. We don't want to widen our field of view so that we can see more clearly. It's very important because I think that a lot of errors come from people void of the Spirit, trying to make these sort of decisions and trying to reconcile different passages and figure out, which one do I follow? Well, they're both legitimate. Rebuke a fool in his folly, rebuke not a fool in his folly. Both are true. It's just, who's the fool? When's he being foolish? What's the situation? What, you know, all these things, it's hard to just say any piece of advice that anyone should do at any given situation, not knowing every detail. That's why at one point in the Gospels, Jesus says, don't take a sword. And at the end, he says, if you don't have a sword, buy one. You know, he advocates turn the other cheek. And he also advocates turn the heels and run. When to do which? When do you just stand your ground and take the punishment coming? When do you flee? To know these things is to be in tune with the Spirit of God. Because there's a time to flee from evil. And there's a time to let evil have its work. And that time is coming for Christ in this Gospel of Mark. As Jesus said, me, you have not always. You can always do good to the poor. There's always time to do good to the poor. But me, when will you have time to do good to me? Jesus is turning somewhat inward here. Because it's one thing to suffer. But another thing to suffer seeing it coming. That's why a surprise injury causes much less anxiety than one that you know is about to happen. If I were to take a knife and hold it to your arm and say, I'm going to cut you, it would cause anxiety. But if we were just working together and you slipped and cut yourself with a knife, or I slipped and cut you, you'd be like, ow, but no anxiety. You might, unless you have some sort of, you know, fear of blood or something like that. But I'm just saying that foreknowledge causes anxiety. The foreknowledge of the evil that's coming. And a lot of things we suffer from are from imagine things that are coming. Things we fear that aren't true, but we're just afraid of them. You know, there's no actual vision of it actually happening, but we fear it nonetheless. She's anointed my body to the burying. He's thinking about his death. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, verse 10, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. When would be a good time to betray the Christ? So Judas was seeking that moment. The moment of truth, as it is said. Verse 12. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare, that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good men of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came to the city and found as he had said unto them. And they made ready the Passover. Well, they're looking for the Passover, where they're going to spend it. And it's all been arranged ahead of time by Christ. And is prepared according as he had said. Verse 17. And the evening was come with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say to you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. All the disciples, of course, are very interested in, you know, I mean, they're looking at themselves and saying, is it me? They think, you know, he knows things that we don't know. And I don't know. I told one, I don't think, is it me? But the one who would knew who he was. And Judas also would say, is it I? In another one of the Gospels. And remember, if you look through this chapter, you know, could compare this with other accounts in other Gospels and say, well, they don't match up precisely. They were written from different perspectives. The details that stood out to one man did not stand out to the other. Also, sometimes over the, you know, you eat every day. And so did they. And, you know, there's the incident in the house of Simon the leper. That's where this alabaster box is broken out. And then there's another one in the house of Lazarus. Now, some people in the book of John, if you look in John chapter 12, there's a anointing of Christ before 6 days before the Passover in the house of Lazarus. Now, is that a mistake in the location? Or is it another account, another, maybe it happened twice? Is it so much to imagine? Remember, they were very much, the reason these boxes existed and so on and so forth was for anointing. And it's the kind of thing a woman might think of, you know, as something good that they could do for someone. And so these things, sometimes the accounts aren't precisely the same. But the point about the Gospels is not to give us the detailed historical account, though it is a historical account, no doubt about that. But to give all these particular details of day by day, it wasn't something they sat there taking down a diary with. But it is to communicate the Gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, and his doctrine.